Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. There'll be a press conference at 5 o'clock conducted by the FBI along with the Boston Police on developments in Boston. There were reports earlier that a suspect had been identified. There were also reports by CNN that there was an arrest, but that's not true. And the federal courthouse has been evacuated. So they'll talk about that about an hour from now. Boston on Monday, it was about 4:09:44 on the clock. And Bob Crow, the Crow family out of State College, they've been runners for as long as everyone here can remember. Bob's wife, the late Sue Crow, was a great runner here. And Bob himself has run most of his life. He loves the Boston Marathon. And it turned out on Monday, for the first time in a couple of years, he was back in the Boston Marathon. And we have Bob joining us on the line on the Hilster's General Store hotline. And Bob, you go down Commonwealth, and you make that quick right turn onto Hereford, and that's not far. And then all of a sudden you make the left turn onto Boylston Street, and now you have the finish at hand. Take us to what happened after that.
Well, that's right. I was on Boylston. I passed the 26-mile marker. I'm guessing I was about 100 yards away, and it was just a perfect day. Beautiful, sunny, beautiful. The fans, the fellow runners. You know how Boston is. It was like paradise out there. And then I thought, this is what I've been waiting for 2 years now to get back here. And then all of a sudden, I heard this just massive explosion in front of me on the left, up by the finish line area, and I was just shocked, just stunned. I didn't know what happened, and I kind of paused for a few minutes, and then a couple of seconds later, there was another blast, huge explosion, and it must have been in back of me because I was pretty close to the finish line, and the cops were trying to get the spectators to get out of the area, and I sensed they were going to try to stop the runner, so I just made a dash for the finish line and crossed it, and it was just shocking.
All right. Did you know it was a blast right away? Because, okay, and the reason I ask this is that for people who don't know Boston, it's Patriots Day. On the 4th of July, they'll actually fire cannons, for example, over the Charles River when they play the 1812 Overture, things like that. That's why people, did you know right away what it was?
Well, I saw all this debris and dust up in the area where the roar was unbelievable. But yeah, I could see the debris and dust, like blast stuff, coming up. You know, I was coming down the right side of Boylston, and this was on the left side of Boylston. So I could see all this debris and dust and everything just rose up like about two stories high.
Then, when the second one happened, about 12, 13 seconds later, did it really hit home?
It was equally just a loud noise, but I didn't see any you know evidence, so it must have been behind me on the left. I understand that there was some distance between the two bombs, but I didn't see anything on that second one, but I sure heard it. It was equally loud.
Okay, people said they could almost feel the wind from the bomb. Did you get that as you ran and sprinted through that area to get to the line? It was a dual purpose of getting to the line and getting out of there, but did you feel that part of it as well?
I don't recall that, I was just in such a state of shock. I can't describe the shock I was in, and I just made the decision to bolt for the finish line and made it. And I didn't see any of the carnage on the left side at all because I was just so focused on that line. You know, and Boylston, as you know, I'm going to guess is about four lanes wide at that point.
That's it, yeah.
And I didn't. And once you cross the line, they just funnel you down. They funnel you south on Boylston.
Okay, so now they're funneling you in. Okay, you've gone past, you're in shock. What do you remember as you're funneling toward the medical tent?
I, you know, I just kept hearing, you know, obviously lots and lots of sirens, and I sensed the panic in the air. And but all the volunteers and everybody was very, very professional, very calm. It was amazing. So they kept moving me south on Boylston, and everybody was just kept looking over my shoulder to see what was going on. I didn't hear any of the subsequent blasts or anything, but you know, just what can I say?
Yeah, what can you say? But at the same time, people have to remember, you've just run 26 miles, 385 yards. There is an incredible fatigue factor at this point as well. Did that set in as much as the shock?
No, maybe because the adrenaline was up from those blasts. You know, you knew something was up. And I don't know. I didn't feel as exhausted as I have in previous marathons. Yeah. But it was just a tragedy. Steve, just an unspeakable act of evil on such a beautiful day. You know, the Patriots are playing, the marathon's going on, the whole city is out celebrating, everybody's out having a good time, and then this happened. It was just unspeakable.
Before we get to this point, you start out in Hopkinton, you start making you hadn't been there in 2 years, so this time it meant a lot to you.
Oh, absolutely.
As it was going through just the run, the first 26 miles, what was the experience like with the crowds, going by Wellesley, things like that?
Oh, my God. You know how it's just the Boston fans are unlike anywhere else. The love in the air is, you know, they give you strength. And whether you're, you know, setting a world record running 2 hours flat or you're just, you know, just crawling along at a six-hour pace, they still love you and they cheer for you. They make you feel like a king. And there's nobody like the Boston fans. And event, I could tell the other runners around me were from, you know, all over the world, and it's just a big love fest, the whole thing, you know. And of course the Wellesley girls were great, but I have to tell you, the Boston College kids are out there big time. I mean, yeah. I love the BC kids. I went down there the BC kids are incredible. I love them.
You're making that last, you know, you go down Commonwealth, which is, for the uninitiated, that goes in back of Fenway Park. And you get on Commonwealth, and just past Fenway's where you make that final turn on Hereford, then you make the left onto Boylston. When you got to that, just on your personal part, were you feeling good about how the run had gone to that point when you were going down that last alley before the left turn onto Boylston?
Well, I was ecstatic to be there. I didn't think I could stand up for 4 hours, much less move for 4 hours, and here I am, you know, taking a left on Boylston. Are you kidding me? I thought I was in heaven.
Right.
And, you know, I could see there's the 26-mile marker down there, and, you know, I'm heading down. I was like, man, I got this, you know.
Right.
It was like,
yeah.
I was happy. So I didn't want to, it was kind of a little crowded in the middle of Boylston, so I kind of moved over to the right. I'm kind of like, you know, maybe 10 yards off the curb on the right side of Boylston as I'm heading down.
And see, and that's where you get lucky, because you moved further over away from the blast.
That's right. I was on the right side, right on the curb on Boylston, yeah.
Yeah. You hit the 26-mile mark. That 26-mile mark had a banner that was dedicated to the Newtown kids.
Okay.
Yeah, which was obviously incredible at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, so now you get to that. So you see this happen in front of you with the smoke. Did you feel the ground, for example? I mean, was that, you know, because this...
All I remember, Steve, was just being in shock. The
right.
noise was so loud. I saw all the debris flying, the dust cloud coming up. I absolutely had no clue what was going on, but it was frightening. I was, you know, I was stunned. And I'm trying to think if I actually stopped running. I didn't know. And then very shortly after that, there was a second blast, and I could see the cops were making the spectators leave, and I said, you know, I was worried they were going to make me stop, and I said, I ran to the finish line.
Right, you ran to the finish line.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
When you were checked, did you think at all, did you just do a quick visual on yourself, make sure that you weren't cut?
No, I didn't. I was okay. I was,
yeah,
no,
you
no,
knew right
no
away you were fine. Yeah.
I didn't check at all. No, I just ran.
What was it then like for you watching and continue to watch the repeated scene play out over and over again, knowing that you were there at the time? What has that experience been like for you?
Well, it's been very humbling. I look at the heroism of all the people that rushed to the aid of the injured people right away. It was just, you know, unbelievable bravery and courage on the part of the responders. Who they didn't bolt. They just stayed. They went right away to help the people who were hurt. Even the second blast, they went right away. It was just humbling to see that. It just mind-boggling to see the courage and the bravery of those people.
We're with Bob Crow, who was in between the blasts when they happened, running the Boston Marathon on Monday, something, an event that has been very, very special to him and to his family for a very long time, running the course that has been run by everybody from Alberto Salazar to Billy Rogers to Ambie Burfoot and so on and so forth. And now this happens. Everybody had a lot of people had the yellow Adidas bags they put their belongings in and so forth. Many weren't claimed. Were you in that position where you put your stuff in a bag?
No, I got my bag.
You got yours? How quickly did you get it?
I got back to Hopkinton okay. Everything was fine.
Yeah, okay. So you had no problem retrieving that?
No, none whatsoever.
Well, we're thrilled that you're fine. Will you, if they open the door to you next year, will you run?
Absolutely. I plan to run this every year the rest of my life. It just all it did is just it greatly intensify my love for the city, for the people there, for the race. It's truly the greatest race in the world. The organization of the race, the volunteers, everything, the runners that it attracts, the families that are attracted to this event. It just intensified my desire to be there the rest of my life. And my love for the city of Boston has just grown immensely.
When you've talked to others, have they echoed that same sentiment?
Absolutely. Everybody feels the same way.
Bob, thanks so much for the time you gave us. And obviously, you've been in our prayers for the last few days. We appreciate it so much.
God bless you, Steve, and thanks for everything you do.
Bob Crow, in between the blasts, literally. Ran through the smoke and through the finish line. And again, sometimes fate directs you in such a way. And for him, fate was he made the left turn off of Hereford onto Boylston. There were people on his left, so he slid to the right and was about 10 feet from the right-hand curb. The blast was on the left. We'll come back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Sweet Caroline.
Third inning last night, Yankee Stadium, they played that. Yankees could not have shown any more class as an organization as they did last night or the day before. So, all right.
You knew I was going to play that, didn't you?
No, I did not.
You were all over that. I thought you knew I was going to do it because I didn't tell you.
No, I didn't know. I really didn't know. I think I walk into this thing unprepared. I mean, is that
well? No, I knew you knew what happened, but I didn't. I mean, you were all over it. I just thought you guessed correctly.
No, I'm fine. I think we all know what Sweet Caroline sounds like. Now, there's going to be changes, by the way. Here, don't bother bringing a bag to Beaver Stadium on Saturday.
I've actually heard some complaints about that through Facebook. People not happy about that.
Well, what are they supposed to do?
I understand both sides of the argument. I truly do.
What are they supposed to do? You can inspect each and every one of them, which that wouldn't bother me at all. But this just happened, so you will see more of a presence at every athletic event that you go to, at least initially. Fair enough.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I don't care. I don't care if it's here or Staples Center in Los Angeles or Madison Square Garden or Beaver Stadium. You know, there's certain things that you have to face. And look, and this is something I talked about on Monday, and I think I briefly touched on it yesterday. But sporting events happen to be where large congregations of people are. Okay? These people don't care about life. They don't care at all about life. They have no regard for your life, my life, anybody's life. The only thing they have, they're cowards. Okay? They're cowards that aren't good enough to do anything else with their own lives. Okay? They're cowards with no skill or intelligence. And so all they want to do, they have no regard whatsoever for your life or what you're doing. So if they're looking for a situation where they want to get, quote, the maximum whatever, number, thrill, damage, concerts, sporting events, things like that, certainly are things that, as I told you the other day, I will do 12 games coming up. The smallest stadium I will be in will be 52,000 seats. Okay? 52,000 seats will be the smallest stadium I am in between the end of August and the end of November. I will do basketball. And the smallest arena I will be in for basketball, based on the schedule as I know it right now, will be 6,000 seats, 8,000 seats, and everything. Every other arena I will be in will be better than 12,000 seats. I'll be in a baseball stadium most of the summer. So from the middle of June, so when I go to the U.S. Open, and I was approved for credentials on the U.S. Open today, I'll go to the U.S. Open. There will be, well, how many thought? I don't know, at Ardmore. I don't know, 30, 40,000 each day? Then I'll be in baseball in 5, 6,000 seat venues, which, by the way, 5,000 is more than what was killed in the World Trade Center. And then I'm going to be in venues of 52,000 plus. And then I'm going to be in venues 6, 8,000, then everything else 12,000 plus. Right up until I get to Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the Big Ten Tournament and 18,000 plus seats, and if Penn State goes into postseason, obviously, same thing, big arenas. So that's where I'm going to be. You know, you and I are going to go to Pocono. They have 65,000 seats at Pocono.
That's not counting people in the infield.
But I'm just saying, though, all right? That, I mean, that's the way it is. Those are the places that we're going to be. We're taking the show to the U.S. Open. We're taking the show to Pocono. I'll be at the ballpark. We'll be at the stadium. We'll be at the arena. I mean, I'll be at all of these places, along with the rest of you, because you'll go to a lot of these things that we're talking about. Many of you will go to Pocono and have a good time. Some of you may have tickets to go to the U.S. Open Golf Championship. Some of you will go to minor league baseball. Some of you will go to some, whether it's Soika or going to the Jordan Center, the Sea Games. That's where thousands of people congregate. I mean, do I think about it when I go in? Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean you don't have, you know, if, as I said yesterday, we make decisions in life that we think are best for us at the moment. I talked about travel. Say, for example, for whatever reason, you have an uneasy feeling and don't want to travel the interstate today. So you'd rather take a back road. So instead of going on 80, you take 45. Instead of going on 81, you take 11 and 15. It's your choice.
That doesn't mean, though, if you see an unattended bag that it's not going to make you think about it or want to, you know, alert somebody.
Yeah, but you
about
report it. But you report it.
Right.
Okay, report it right away.
Exactly.
Do, you know, have some, you know, and they look at it and they check it out and then all of a sudden it's fine. No harm. What's the harm? Okay, you see something you're not comfortable with, say something.
And almost everybody has
any clue. Yeah.
Almost everybody has a cell phone now, so it's not hard to dial 911.
All right. So, I mean, say something. And again, if it's nothing, it's nothing. Who's harmed? Nobody. If it is something, you've saved lives. But, you know, they want you to tippy-toe through life. Okay? They're ignorant cowards. Pure and simple. You want to know who the real American people are? The real America? They were the ones running toward the bomb blast to save lives. They're the ones who have taken in runners in Boston who have been stranded. Okay? They're the ones who have come out for candlelight vigils. Okay? They're the ones who have comforted perfect strangers. They're the first responders. The bottom line is, they can shake you, but they won't get you. Why? We are Americans.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, we'll hear from Joe Lundberg, AccuWeather Senior Expert Meteorologist, on climate change. Then 9 a.m., Patrick Kelly, Superintendent, Shikellamy School District. It's OTM, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. It's been a moving show today. Bob Crowe, who was running in the Boston Marathon, joined us last half hour to talk about being literally in between the blasts. The first one he saw right in front of him ran through the smoke. He was on the right-hand side because he was passing people. The second one was behind him. He only heard it and didn't see it and just kind of sprinted through the finish line and got to the chute. Mark Wogan, Rich was on from the Allentown Morning Call talking about the quarterbacks and their duel Saturday at Beaver Stadium. So we've had a moving show today. We've had a lot of things going on. Tomorrow, Patrick Chambers joins us. Friday, Bill O'Brien. Other than that, slow week. We apologize in advance for the people we brought on.
You know, from the files of the really dumb things baseball has done, did you hear that Carl Crawford got a phone call from the league office and asked him not to wear the one blue, one white shoe?
Yes.
What difference does it make?
He's been fined.
It is ridiculous. If Major League Baseball has nothing better to do, then call Carl Crawford and go, hey, you need to send us a check because we didn't like your white shoe, blue shoe. I mean, it's not like one was orange and one was red. Who cares if it was?
Petty. The NFL did this for years in terms of your socks weren't pulled up high enough and things like that. They'd fine you for it. Did that for a long time. But you would think that they would worry about bigger things considering things that are going on right now.
Well, but this is the same organization that decided that the Mets shouldn't wear the NYPD or FDNY or the Port Authority Police Department hats on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 because they needed consistency.
Look, you know that, and I know that. And it's just, again, for them, it is a public relations disaster when they do things like this. I mean, it's a public relations disaster.
But who sits in the front office and says, you know, we should probably do something about this, and doesn't see that it's going to be a public relations disaster?
I mean, I think they get so focused in on silly stuff. Like, for example, I mean, the NYPD, you know, FDNY hats and things like that. My goodness, they should have sat back there and said, you know, can you want us to buy them for you? See, that's the part I don't get, is that they don't, there's somebody up in that office that doesn't quite have a grasp on real life.
And to keep in mind, this was, I may have said yesterday, I meant to say Monday. This was Monday he wore them, and they were special Nike Jordans that actually had the number 42 on them for Jackie Robinson Day.
Right.
It just baffles me the NFL has done this too, as you mentioned. And if there's nothing else to worry about than what somebody's shoes are, then they have way too many people in the front office right now, and they should thin things out a little bit.
I mean, obviously, you don't want something that's outrageous, for example.
I understand.
You don't want or messages
or
put
offensive
on them that are offensive, insensitive, things like that. You have to watch out for that. Telling a guy to keep his jersey tucked in, yeah, that's important. I mean, you know, you do want to look professional when you're out there. At the same time, if I'm the manager, I want that shirt tucked in. You want to know why? Sucker's running down the second base to tag the shirt, you're out.
Well, and that's the other thing. If you're at the plate, the ball hits your shirt tail that's hanging out, it's a hit by pitch.
I would look at him and go, I got hit in the shirt tail. Get back in there.
I realize what you're saying there, but, you know, that goes back to...
I would tell him, get back in there.
That goes back to Joe LaFay with his sleeves being too baggy.
I'd look at... But I got... Get back in there. Is there moments that you have to look at them and just say, I'm sorry. But get back in there.
And I did hear your friend Tom Izzo saying supporting your position on the shot clock in college basketball.
He's talking 24 seconds.
Yeah, he's talking about a little quicker than you were, but definitely a change. And then, of course, speaking of college basketball, you have more players leaving early for the NBA draft.
Well, as expected, Tim Hardaway is going. I mean, that's expected. I expect that. I still expect Glenn Robinson to go. But Tim Hardaway is going. But Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State's going to stay. Nerlens Noel, 23 games enough. We're out. That's fine. But Tim Hardaway gave it 3 years, by the way. He's a junior.
That's not
I thought
so
he was going to go after. No, I thought he was going to go after last year, to be honest with you. And he really slumped a little bit in the second half of the year last year. And obviously, in the advice of his father, he decided, hey, look, you know, I'm going to come back one more year. And he came back this year, and he really had kind of the same year he did last year. Some really great moments, and then some other moments that were a little shaky. But, you know, you make it to the championship game, and you decide you're going to leave. Now, Smart decides to go back to Oklahoma State. A lot of people think that's mysterious. But he's making a decision that's good for him. You know, my advice to him would be simple. Get yourself an insurance policy. You know, get yourself an insurance policy. Like Jadeveon Clowney of South Carolina has gone out and he's been able to get an insurance policy. There have been many Penn State players over the years that have taken out insurance policies. You know, depending what the rules were for entry into the draft at the time. But many Penn State players have taken out insurance policies over the years when they could not go to the draft. Clowney can't go to the draft. In the NFL, to go to the NFL, you must be 3 years removed from high school before you can go into the National Football League. Now, you may be a redshirt sophomore when you go, but you're still 3 years out. So you're 3 years removed from high school to go in. Now, in the NBA, it's 1 year of college, 19 years of age. As for the shot clock, they need to do this. I mean, my thought was knock off 5 seconds, get it to 30. Tom Izzo was talking 24. I'd round it to 25, extra second. I don't care. With the idea of, you know, let's
let's ratchet this up a little bit. Let's get more possessions, more shots, more, a lot of things into the game. You know, and I've mentioned before that Bo Ryan is a great coach. So let's preface it with that. He gets so much out of his talent. Again, we'll use that as a preface. The next part is that he has a system and he finds people to fit that system. So Bo Ryan is great for Wisconsin basketball. Wisconsin basketball does not have a great history. Yes, they won the national championship. I think it was in 1941, right? They won it. But for the most part, they have done nothing in basketball until they started, you know, reviving the cobwebs a bit with Stu Jackson, and then Dick Bennett. Well, Bo comes in there, and Dick Bennett slowed things down. We used to refer to it as football on wood. And Bo's really done the same thing. Now, they play with a little more pace this year. But while Bo is great, literally great for Wisconsin basketball, and he's doing what he needs to do to make Wisconsin basketball successful, he's bad for college basketball. Or at least his system is bad for college basketball. His system is perfect for what Wisconsin wants to do. And if he were here at Penn State, I'd be telling him, hey, look, keep playing it because that's how you win. But if you're looking in the big picture, that system is not good for college basketball in terms of watching it, the flow and the pace of the game. Basketball needs to be, of the major sports, needs to be the second quickest to watch. Hockey being first, of course. Needs to be movement, flow, fast breaks. You know, it was interesting because I was talking with someone. They said, you know, they were telling me how much they love women's basketball. I said, oh, that's great. You can love whatever you want. I don't care. And they said, because, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the shooting and things like that. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, to each his own. He says, men's basketball is just all fast breaks and dunks. And I said, no, it's not. I said, in fact, men's basketball needs to slow it down. I mean, needs to pick up the pace. I said, it's too slow right now. He goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, do you know how many fast break points Penn State had last season? He goes, how many? I said, 111. That's in 30 games. That's fewer than 4 points a game on fast breaks. You know how many they gave up last year? Penn State gave up 165 points on fast breaks. Now, that's in 30 games. So in 30 games, Penn State gave up 3.5 points a game on fast breaks. That's it. Okay? I mean, 5.5 points. My apologies. That's almost 3 baskets a game on fast breaks. 3. Out of 60 possessions. 3 baskets? Or, I mean, 5 baskets? I mean, my apologies. Penn State was 3 fast break baskets a game. The opponent was 5. 3 and 5. 3 and 5. So you have 120 possessions maybe in a game, 60 each side. 8 of them were fast break baskets? He said to me, I didn't realize that. I said, believe me, most people don't. But I have the numbers. I know what the numbers say. I know what the numbers say. And I know what I see in front of me. You know, Louisville and Michigan did more to help the college game than any game I've seen in recent years, because that game was fast-paced, that game had shooting, that game was fun. That was fun. What brings people to arenas? Okay, love of the game, winning, fun. Any one of those three factors can get somebody to go to a game or to watch it on TV. Any one of those three. And that's what they did. It was a high-stakes game, but it was a fun game to watch. You know, we can laugh over the years about the 3 games that I've done where Tennessee and Penn State ended up 33-33 in regulation. Then Penn State outscored them, I think it was 8-0 in overtime, won 41-33. The 38-33 game in Illinois and the 36-33 game in the Big Ten tournament with Wisconsin. I've done all three of those games in my career. And we can laugh about it now, but those games in terms of people, you know, for me, you're invested in the game, so you're watching, and every basket has meaning, and they needed it when they won that 36-33 game or 38-33 game at Illinois. That was a huge win for Penn State that they needed trying to get to the tournament. The 36-33 game against Wisconsin was a game where Penn State needed to win it because if they won it, it would have, I think, put them into the NCAA tournament, which I think it did. You know, and then they really clinched it by beating Michigan State the next day. So from that point of view, from a selfish point of view and watching it like that, sure, it had meaning. But to the casual fan, those had to be brutal games to watch. To the casual fan flipping through going, what is this joke? Now, it gets to a point, and I've told my students this, when you're broadcasting something like that, there gets to a point where winning and losing gets into the equation. So you're now broadcasting a game that is not 38-33 or 36-33. You're broadcasting a game in which one team's up by two, up by one, up by three, up by four, where in the last 5 minutes the margin becomes but to the casual fan saying, gee, I think I'd like to watch a basketball game tonight. What's on? You have to be kidding me. This is a joke. I want to see basketball. I want to see a game. So I really do favor shortening up the shot clock. I don't care if they shorten it to 24, 25 seconds, or 30, but they have to shorten it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I'm just getting you ready for Blue Wine on Saturday, Steve.
I'm already ready for Blue Wine on Saturday.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, you have to stay organized in this thing.
Is the laminator work? Yeah. Does the laminator still work?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't fired it up yet. I haven't printed the stuff, so.
See, Steve has this great chart that he makes. I want to share this because this is you'll think this is funny too. And he was showing it to me last year, and I said, "Hey, can I borrow that? Because that really could be helpful." There's a lot of information on there at a glance. And he goes, "Sure, no problem." And he goes through and he laminates it. I'm like, "God, that's even better." I said, "I have to get a laminator." So I finally get the information for the one game that I know I'm going to need to use all this information for, which was Georgetown Bucknell. And I forgot Steve uses legal paper and not letter paper and not letter sized. So yeah. I print everything out. I put it all in my folder. I didn't have time to laminate it, so my laminator still has been unused, and it sits on my desk. But I get down to the game, and they're about ready to kick a field. Georgetown's about ready to kick a field goal, and I look down, and I don't have the name of the kicker or any of his stats, because you know what? That's on the size that it would be if it was the legal sheet that got cut off on my letter size paper. Uh-huh. 3 hours work. Gone.
Now, did you use a computer or did you use a...
Yeah. I used the computer. I got it all typed in there nice. I mean, I had some. I'm going through the first quarter. I'm like, this is great. I've got all this stuff I'm throwing. I mean, I almost sound like I know what I'm talking about. And that doesn't happen very often. And then the kicker comes up, and I can't even tell you his name. Because I used the wrong size paper.
There you go. Well, now you know. Get out there in your high school Friday night when Shikellamy opens. Who's Shikellamy going to open with this year? Danville?
I don't know yet.
Well, who's their traditional opener?
Well, that's shifted a lot over the last several years because of adjustments in the Heartland Conference and moving of teams. And they just did that recently where they moved teams down to different divisions. So I'm not quite sure who they will have to start the season at this moment anyway.
Oh, you get to that game and Have your chart all set to go, all laminated. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nice. I can plan ahead for the first game. I'll be in great shape for the first game.
Just go out and buy some legal size paper.
Yeah, that's the one difference is you got to have legal size paper right now.
Well, but, you know, you don't have to have as many players on there. If you have fewer players, then.
Oh, no. I used it for the Georgetown Bucknell game where I knew I had further players. And it was a good thing because Georgetown went to their fourth running back, who normally I wouldn't have on even my two deep chart that I usually keep. So it was nice to have the four on there and have all the information available. It's just, you know, I just didn't use legal size paper. That's all.
They give you a flip card?
Yeah, but it's only two deep.
They have kickers on there, don't they?
Yeah, that's where I finally found it. But, I mean, imagine you're seeing the special teams unit come out, and you're ready to talk about the kicker whose longest kick is not here.
Well, once this is over with, then that's when I start doing some serious work. Right around May 1st. I literally start at the beginning of the schedule, so I'll start with Syracuse, then I'll go to Kent State, then Central Florida, then I'll get to Eastern Michigan, then I'll go Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, and I'll start going through and putting together based on the spring prospectus.
But I guess
every team on the schedule, then I'll get to basketball, and then I'll start doing the same thing with basketball.
But I guess the most important thing for fans right now to remember for the blue-white game, in case you didn't hear, no bags. Purses, anything like that. Basically no carry-ons, or in this case, a carry-in.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure any football player is going to be involved in this autograph session.
Well, that was the other thing there's been a lot of discussion about is the autograph sessions.
Yeah, and that's been one of the more popular things. Now, supposedly there's going to be something going on later to accommodate that, but not on this day. I don't know. That I don't know. Now, the good news is at the corner of Curtin and Porter, Kevin will be signing up until 4 o'clock.
Not this year. However, if you're willing, I'll do it at Christie.
Short period of time on this show, you become pretty arrogant.
I'll do it at Christie.
Wow.
You can see me there Saturday night.
Patrick Chambers tomorrow, Bill O'Brien Friday.